There is an old saying that goes, if you remember the 60s, you really weren't there.
That's a good one.
I grew up in the 1960s. I remember it distinctly. I was there, but I did not participate in the culture that became identified with the 1960s. The 1960s was a turbulent decade. The world was kind of turned upside down to a certain degree. Beginning in 1964 with the Beatles and the British invasion, rock and roll simply became rock. They skipped the roll part of it. The love songs of the 50s, and well, even before that, became songs of lust. When the culture became dealing with free love. It was a turned-on generation, not by excitement for what's going on in the world, but by artificial means of LSD. And with the proliferation of the Vietnam War, the music changed rebellion against it, because a little bit of it was that this was a war that we had entered with no philosophy of winning. It was frustrating. We were sending people over to die. And I remember the reports on the news at TV in the evening. So many people died in Vietnam today. That was the report. Not we gained the victory, but so many people died. And the music then was hoping for a change. A lot of songs came out about peace and good and brotherhood. That was the 60s. Probably the most iconic song that dealt with the peace and good and brotherhood was a song that actually was not recorded until 1971, but a song that was written based upon a poem that was written in the 60s. And the song was recorded by John Lennon. You knew that was coming, Mike? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the lyrics to the song, the first stanza goes, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. In other words, without the thought of eternity. The second stanza doesn't get any better. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. And the third and final stanza goes, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. The chorus to the song goes, you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Over 50 years have transpired since the 60s, and let's all get together with peace and good and brotherhood, and we'll all live in peace and harmony and love. And it never came to pass. What happened to the 60s? The people that were promoting these lifestyles in the 60s were in their teens and 20s and maybe early 30s. And now they're all the people that are in the positions of authority in the world. They've grown up. And yet, it hasn't come to pass. What happened? Well, I think I can answer the question. I want to go back and look at what Lennon was looking for, and I'm going to say this. We can imagine all we want, but we can imagine all we want, but there really is a heaven and a hell. You can't imagine away something that exists. You can say, well, there's no Los Angeles, California. Sometimes I wish there wasn't a Los Angeles, California. But it's there. Well, how do you know that there is a heaven and hell? Because Jesus said so. Well, who's he to say that? Well, he is the one who said he came down from heaven and said that he was going back to heaven. What gives validity to his words? Well, let's see. He was born of a virgin. He lived an impeccable life. He did the miraculous by feeding thousands of people with just a few fishes and loaves of bread. He walked on the water. He healed the sick. He gave life to the dead. And then he predicted his own death and physical or bodily resurrection 3 days later. And it all came to pass. I would say those are good enough credentials to believe what he said is true. Well, that's just his opinion. And I would answer that by this objection. If you can find somebody who was born without the input of a human man, who can do the miraculous, who can bodily rise from the dead without any human assistance. And if he were to say there is no heaven and hell, I would believe him. I'm pretty confident you'll never find that person. You can imagine all you want, but in order to say there's no heaven and hell, you would have to discount the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not willing to do that. Not only that, what kind of life would it be if we abandoned the idea of eternal justice? Why, you know, imagine all the people living for today. Well, what am I going to do today if there's no eternity? I might as well eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you die. Why bother living a life that is righteous and God-honoring? Because there's no consequence to it. And if I do that which is evil, there's no consequence to that. Would that make the world a better place? And the answer is, nope, wouldn't happen. Number two, we can imagine all we want. But there are, and always will be, countries, national boundaries. The reason being that people have different ideologies of how people should live together under economic systems and under political systems. We have a representative democracy, and that works for us. Other places have a monarchy. Other places are under dictatorships, and each country will argue that theirs is the best system in which to live. They're still existing. Throughout human history, many have tried to take over the world. There's always been the Genghis Khans and the Alexander the Greats and the Adolf Hitlers and others like that that wanted to make a one world nation. And how well did they succeed? The answer is not very well. I was thinking of some of the more ridiculous things. I spoke this morning about, is there golf in heaven? What if there was only one world country? Who would we root for at the Olympics? That would be a problem, wouldn't it? But here's something that has existed. If we've been in existence for about 6,000 years, for about 6,000 years, there's been national divisions. Those things just don't go away overnight, even if you try to imagine it. So we can imagine all we want, but that's not going to happen. We can imagine all we want, but there will always be religion. Now think about it. Let's define what we mean by religion. I would define religion this way. Religion is an ideology or belief system held by people about God and how they should live in response to that belief. And you can say, well, we'll just get rid of all religions. We'll all become atheists. But atheism is a religion. It's a belief that says there is no God. I think I heard something about this in Sunday school recently. And consequently, if there is no God, here's how you should live. That's a religion. It's a very poor religion, but there will always be a religion. The only way to get rid of religions is to have one religion. But you'll never get less than one. We can believe all we want, but it's just not going to happen. Finally, last stanza. We can believe all that we want, but there will always be personal possessions. It doesn't matter whether you are living in a communistic society, a socialist society, or a capitalistic society. There will always be people within those societies that will say, this is mine. The problem is not the system, believe it or not. The problem is the people living in the system. It's called a sin nature and greed. Interestingly enough, on the December 8th of 1980, not quite 10 years after John Lennon recorded this song, a man by the name of Mark David Chapman met him outside of his home in New York City and fired 5 shots into Lennon's back and killed him. He was asked why he did this, and this is what he said. He claimed that he had been enraged by Lennon's infamous remark in 1966 that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, and by the lyrics of Lennon's song, Imagine, where Lennon altruistically states, imagine no possessions, and yet Lennon lived a very lavish lifestyle. He called him a hypocrite. I guess Lennon didn't imagine enough for himself. We can imagine all we want, but it'll never make those things come to pass because the problem lies right here in the heart of man, sinfulness. But let's just suppose for a moment that we could get a world that the 60s wanted. A world in which we didn't have to disagree about religion. A world in which we didn't have to worry about eternity. A world in which there were no national boundaries and therefore no wars and that type of thing. A world in which everybody shared everything on an equal basis. Would that bring peace? Would that bring everybody together to live in peace and harmony and good and brotherhood? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I want to consider verses 9 and 10 tonight. Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10. Now here's a profound statement. They follow verse 8. Verse 8 concludes, these are the beginning, for this is the beginning of sorrows. I take it that's referring to the first half of the tribulation period. The word then there is a word which indicates the next step, or following this, not at the same time, but following this. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake, namesake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, what's interesting about this is the time frame. Remember, if this is happening right after the middle of the tribulation, what takes place in the middle of the tribulation? Well, we've had 3.5 years where the Antichrist has sought to control the whole world and has, for the most part, been the one world leader. He's tried to unite all the nations of the world under his own single control. So we don't have the nationalistic borders anymore. In the middle of the tribulation, he's going to go to the temple and proclaim himself to be God, and that no one else is worshipped. So there's going to be only one religion, of which there will be no heaven and hell. And he will require all that will to receive the mark of the beast in order to buy and sell. But I take that, not only does that exclude those who would reject him, but in the giving out of goods, there will be an equal distribution. They are going to know who has gotten and who hasn't. So we'll have sharing all these. That's all that Lenin just was spoken about of being imagined. And this is all coming in the middle of the tribulation under the reign of the Antichrist. And look what Jesus said is going to happen. Then they shall deliver you. Well, who's the you? Well, at the end of the verse says, for my name's sake. These are people who are going to have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior after the rapture of the church. I don't know if it's right exactly to call them Christians at this point in time, because that usually refers to the church. The church has been raptured. But nonetheless, these are believers. And the world is going to hate them. Why? Because they're going to have a different religion. We don't want a different religion. We want a religion of peace and good and brotherhood, and you don't have that, so we're going to kill you. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But once they do that, then shall many be offended. And I take this is referring to the unbelievers in the world, and shall betray one another and hate one another. What is Jesus saying? Saying, this ain't going to work. You can imagine all you want, but it won't work. Will it ever come that we have the world that Lenin imagined? Let me put it this way. It doesn't take imagination to change the world into that kind of world. It takes evangelization. Not imagination, evangelization. Why? For when we go out and share the gospel with someone and someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, their faith will confirm the purposes of God in the perfection of man by providing a perfect place of inhabitance for eternity. We can offer them the assurance of heaven. How can we assure them that that took place? Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I'm going away, and if I go away, I'm coming back, and I will receive you to myself, and there where I am, you shall be always. And at that point in history, that will already have taken place, and we can say, see, he is true to his word. Here are all these people that have trusted in him, and they're no longer here. They're dwelling with him in heaven. And they have been rescued from the consequences of eternal judgment because of their sin. There is a heaven and a hell. And the rapture of the church just proved it. When we evangelize, share the gospel with somebody and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, their faith allows them to be benevolent to those living in other countries because they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do we support the Togbi Wanyos in Togo, Africa? Because they're winning people to Christ. Why do we support the Pinoles and the Lopezes in Spain? Because they're winning people to Christ. Why do we support the Kelsos in England? Because they're winning people to Christ. Why do we support the Woodfins in Ecuador? Because they're winning people to Christ. Why do we support the Conrads who, by the way, will be with us on April the 2nd in our evening service. Why do we support them? Because they're winning people to Christ in Hong Kong. Did I miss anybody? Why do we support the goods in Poland? Because they're winning people to Christ. And those people in those other countries are now our brothers and sisters. If you had a brother or sister in your own blood family, wouldn't you support them? And it's the same in the spiritual house of God. I don't care where they live. They're part of our family. And when we come to faith in Christ, I don't see that as a problem. When we evangelize and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and a person comes to faith in Christ, we bring them into a unity of belief in the way, the truth, and the life. Oh yes, there may be differences in some of the doctrines that we believe around the world. I don't necessarily have to agree with everything that Greg believes. He's just a heretic anyway. I mean, I love Greg. Love to pick on him. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes I don't even agree with myself. And I can deal with a brother and sister in Christ in a loving, compassionate way because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. When we evangelize, bring a first person to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enable them to realize that all that they have comes from and belongs to God and is given to them in a stewardship of faithful use. There is nothing in this world that I need that God will not provide. And if I am willing to give to others who have a need, God will never cause me to lack. It doesn't take imagination change the world. It takes evangelization. And John Lennon wanted to get rid of it. Whatever happened to the 60s? The world found out that Lennon's ideals were nothing more than an imagination that could never come true without Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day when the world will live in peace and good and brotherhood. And you know when that will be? When Jesus Christ returns. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the peace that you give us with you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the peace that we have when going through trials. That if there's anything that we lack in the material realm, you will provide it. Thank you for the peace that we have of knowing that eternity waits for us with a home in heaven and all the glories of it. Thank you for the day in which there will be no wars and divisions of mankind, and we will be all one in Christ Jesus and in you. Lord, I pray that the glories that we now have through faith in the Lord Jesus, we might have abundant opportunities to proclaim to a world around us. Not that we'll change the course of history, but that we might change a few individuals in it for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for this opportunity. May we be found faithful as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.